Good afternoon. My name's Danny Dorling, and I am not a criminologist, as you're about to discover. What I tend to do half my time is get involved in drawing maps. So I thought, as it's getting towards the end of the day, I'll show you quite a few maps, and these maps aren't necessarily of crime, but they are maps about what is fair, what is equal, what is just in my mind. I was going to tell you that this little map here is a map of your chances of being mugged in Oxford, in case you become a bit drunk later on and go wandering around. But that would be very unfair, although your chances of mugged in Oxford, actually they'll be higher, as they always are in the city centre. In case you need to know this, the one useful thing maybe to tell you is that you're most likely to get mugged if you're ever around Leicester Square. Just remember that in Britain. So I thought it's very useful to know. But of course, this could be a crime map of a particular kind of crime. The red areas are the poorest areas of Oxford. The green areas are the richest areas. Let's make it a bit bigger. And I might even have... I've got a pointer. We're here. You might have noticed we're here. It's a bit dark green, if you have a look around you. If you teach in a university in England, and there's of course a span of universities, but very often your students will come from areas like this, these little green places, particularly if they're AAB students. They'll only know about little green places, and if you're trying to understand your students, this kind of a map will help you understand your students. This map is available for free. If you Google CASA, the Centre for Advanced Spatial Analysis in London, you can go and check your own street. Red areas are the most deprived, green areas are the least deprived, it's a government index. And we're here. This is the area of Oxford people always talk about. And what I think is interesting is to notice that if you grow up here, places near to you are very similar colours as well, in that you're not going to meet many people from an area like that. Second, perhaps most useful thing is some advice tomorrow, in case the weather's at all good and you've had enough of sitting in conference rooms like this. It's a bit too cold to go punting. You could go look around these really ancient buildings, but you can do that any time. What I'd recommend is that you start off here, walk around the road next to University Parks, up this road here, which is called the Boundary Road, then hop through here, through Park Town, and walk up here. You'll be walking past maybe £10 billion worth of property, maybe more. Only in Kensington can you do the same kind of thing. But eventually you'll get to a little place here where there's a little blue plaque on the wall. And the blue plaque on the wall is where they put a wall across the street about 10 years before I was born here in Oxford, so that the children from the council estate couldn't come over to the children from the private estate on the other side. Now you'll notice that it's only a very pale orange. That's right to buy. And the effect. Right to buy means this is where a professor now gets the ex-council house in. But it's fascinating to see. And you won't see much other areas like that. I wrote this about 10 years ago about growing up in Oxford as a child. I left Oxford 30 years ago and I've just come back to it. To get to school every day, I had to go under an underpass, which if you were a boy in the 1970s and 1980s, you know what going under an underpass is all about. It's about fighting. And you could tell, you knew where people were coming from, because literally they came in a particular entrance to the underpass, you know what estate they were from. Years later, I drew lots of detailed social maps of Britain, and then I came back to the underpass, and somebody had actually scrawled on the wall of the underpass, good puppies this way, bad puppies that way. And they were completely right about the areas, and I thought, why do you need academics to do this? And in many ways, I do find it funny. There's lots of kind of well-meaning ethnographic research that's done by the university on this part of Oxford. I do think, you've only got to grow up there, but I won't be anyone insulting. This is where the underpass was. And you'll see it is a bit unusual. It's the green road roundabout, if you know. 3 miles away from here. And the unusual thing is the variety of colours around it. So Britain in the 1970s and 80s wasn't as divided as the area I grew up in. I grew up in a very divided area where people from here didn't get clerking jobs. People from here got clerking jobs. One or two people from here or here might even have gone to university. But it was all about where you came from. And similar with crime, over what crimes. It's not completely deterministic, but you would shoplift if you came from certain areas just to try it out once. If you did, it was just normal to do that. Just as it's very normal for middle class or upper middle class children never to have committed a single crime of that particular kind. But it was abnormal. That amount of inequality is abnormal, and the amount of inequality that we're currently living with in this country, in the UK, is strange and abnormal. But of course, you think it's normal. This is the proportion of income taken by the top 1%, that particular column. It correlates with all other kinds of inequality measures, but it's far simpler, I think, to understand than other inequality measures. So here's the USA, very unequal. Here's the UK. We're essentially more like the USA than anywhere else in Europe. To get a grasp of what this kind of inequality means, or the differences in our society at the moment, imagine a school with 100 children in a year, 3 classes. One child is getting $20 a day pocket money, or £20 a day, let's do it in English. £20 a day pocket money. It's quite a lot of pocket money every day. The other children, on average, are getting 80p a day pocket money. That's US-style income inequality. That's what the society is. Now, in fact, it doesn't work with one person getting that and the other being equal. What you end up with is one getting £20 a day, sitting in a class where you get about £2 a day on average. The next of those 3 classes in the year gets about 50p, and the bottom of the 3 classes gets nothing. That's what the inequality we're living with really is. And you'll know, I'm assuming you'll know, that this correlates quite nicely with things like our rates of imprisonment. You have to log them. Once you've logged them, because they're too variable, the rates of imprisonment, of course, are much higher in more unequal countries. Not because people are more vindictive at sentencing, but more violent crimes are committed in more unequal countries. But I want to step out and put my foot in it too much about these things. It's more saying how unequal we are. Okay, the first of these weird maps, and I'll show you a few more later. I call this a justice map, in a way. It's a map of Europe, but it's a map in which everybody's made equal. Everybody's equal before the map. Because what we've done, this map is drawn by Ben Hennig, who very unfairly I've put in tiny blue writing at the bottom, so it's not mine, is we've stretched the map. So that if there are many people in an area, it's made large, and if there aren't people, we make it disappear. So that if you draw anything on top of this map, people get equal representation. So here's London, here we are, here's Birmingham, here's Paris, here's Madrid. I'll stop there. This is normal to me. It really is. I've been drawing these maps, honestly, for 30 years since I left Oxford and began drawing them in Newcastle, but these presumably are not normal to you. I suspect hardly any of you have seen a map like this before. Okay, it's really weird. What I wanted to try to do or to get over is the idea that in just the same way that you may find that people find your liberal views on crime strange and can't understand them, and why can't you understand that criminals are just bad people and need to be locked up, somebody presenting a map like that says this is a fair map, forget your normal map, it's a really nasty map that just shows farmers and cows and hides black people, which is what the normal map does, can sound like a very strange person. Let's go forward and show you a little bit more about inequality, and then I'll show you some more of those maps. Again, here's how much the richest 1% are taking, up to 18% in the USA going up, 15% in the UK and going up. They're taking more and more. The average wages are coming down. We're becoming dramatically more unequal, which again, I'm sure you know. This is how strange it is. Denmark is really interesting, but I'll say nothing else about Denmark unless somebody wants to ask me. And there are so many good correlations. This is life expectancy against inequality. An unequal society is a society that doesn't understand itself, is not good, and is not good for almost everybody in the society. This data comes from the work on the spirit level by Kate Pickett and Richard Wilkinson. Again, the richest 1%. And here the proportion of people in the society suffering from a mental illness, according to a WHO checked survey, so lots of surveys here. Quarter of people in the USA and UK, much lower down here. Again, about not feeling normal, this is how much the 1% took around about 100 years ago in the UK. We got rid of the country houses, we gave them death duties, we had a Labour government, we had a war, we increased the taxes even more, and we got to a point where the richest 1% only took 6% of all income, 6 times average income, or just 4 after tax. And then Margaret Thatcher was elected in 1979, and that happened. And this is what we now think of as normal, although if you're old enough to remember the 70s, you can perhaps remember it was a bit different. And this is France. Right, and it's just very different. This is Japan, and this is Germany. It's not a global race where everybody has to be really nasty to each other. What we do in the UK and USA is not normal, but they lost wars. This is what you get if you don't have a successful invasion or revolution in 1,000 years. And the colleges, I should add. And this is the share of income of the top 1% in those revolutionary socialist countries of the Netherlands and Switzerland. Just saying things can be different, things can look different. I shall skip past that. That's again just saying we're very unequal. And the only thing I'm going to say about this graph is just chance that the circles line up so nicely. Life expectancy and income share. These are the only 5 countries which their data in the poorer part of the world. But I think I noticed somebody from Mauritius at a conference, so I just wanted to point out that Mauritius is there nicely lined up. And now your maps very, very quickly. Strange maps of the world, justice maps. What's the point of these maps? You can plot things on them like elections, and in elections you see who actually got to win. But for instance, if you had dots for murders, you could see where murders are most common and so on. I'll just show you them. Really, this bit is just light entertainment. You've seen Europe. That's what Africa looks like from the point of view of people. This is Cairo. There is no Sahara Desert. It disappears. Here's Russia, drawn to make everybody equal. Here's China, which is a kind of sea of cities. Here's Latin America, incredibly urban. Here's North America, the biggest city being Mexico City. And the connection to crime and thinking is the shock you may be feeling seeing some of these things is the same shock, of course, that people will experience when you tell them that there's a different story about justice to the normal story, which my impression is most of you are along that line of Howard League is. And the last picture is again the world shown at this. This is India, this is China, but coloured in by light pollution. This map is normally presented to say, here's where people are on a normal map, but of course people are everywhere on this map. So instead of seeing where people are, you're seeing who's got so much money they can afford to waste it shining up in the sky. And if you look at it like that, you begin to ask, what is a crime? My last slide. I see things, I'm probably at home with many people here, but not in the normal world. I know that most people who commit crimes are rich. I know that most of the crimes committed are driving at 80 or 90 miles an hour. I know that's how people are killed. I know a general practitioner kills more people than died in the whole of Moss Side in 20 years, because I have the data. I know cash in hand or fixing LIBOR, or if you look at the fraud data that we do have, it's in the villages outside Oxford, not inside it. But you've kind of heard it before. But part of the reason that I think these things or know these things is seeing things stretched differently. Last story, very quickly. Going back to that map. About 6 years ago, a mayor in a small Italian town decided to say that round goldfish bowls were going to be made illegal. Have you heard this story? No, actually made them illegal. They passed a law in a small town to make the goldfish bowls illegal. Because he said it was unfair that the goldfish were viewing the world in a way that was so distorted. So they have to have square, rectangular tanks. And the reason he gave wasn't so much for the goldfish themselves, it was for the children of this small Italian town, who he says should care enough about their goldfish, that their goldfish could see things in a way which was straight. Thank you very much.